Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Reverend Don Lewis coming to you from witchschool.com. Are you looking for the best in pagan and magical education? With more than 12,000 pages, witchschool.com is like having your own personal library with individual learning assistants to help you study. And Witchschool's anyone, anytime, anywhere education system is available any place on earth, anywhere you are and anytime you want it, as long as you have an internet connection. Witchschool's lifetime memberships are a great value. They really do last a lifetime. They've been there for years and they'll be there for years to come. So get your membership today at witchschool.com.
You're listening to Pagan Tonight. Pagans unite on Pagan Tonight. Many paths, one network. For over 5 years, we've been the place to connect with the best, brightest, and most trusted voices in the pagan world. Every night is Pagans Tonight.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Tree of Life Hour here on the Pagans Tonight Radio Network. And the I'm Samara Luna.
And this is Raven Doll.
And this is the Tree Life Hour, and our show is brought to you by the Tree Life Community Center, a nonprofit group of people here in the Louisville, Kentucky area. We are trying to create space for people of earth-based religions and philosophies, and our show is all about community, things we think the community should know, be discussing, and usually tonight's show would be our heathen perspective, correct?
Well, actually, we're taking heathen perspective to the last Friday or last Thursday of the month.
So heathen, okay. So we're just going to move that to the last Thursday. Okay. So
right. So we're going to kind of do a whole big relaunch thing. But yeah, the last Thursday of the month now will be heathen perspective, and that's just because of a shift in a bunch of our schedules around the show and around us. Of course, it will be Ulf and I, and we'll probably have some special guests and stuff. So stick around for that. Once again, that will be the last Thursday. That will be the fourth Thursday of every month, usually the last Thursday of the month, but it will be at least the fourth Thursday.
Right. And I will be on and off depending on what's going on because I'm going to be doing some networking for the community center, hopefully.
Right. And that has to do with why we moved Heathen Perspectives, because Samara has to do another part of the, because there's kind of a trio of us on the board of the community center, and so it's kind of, we have to play this thing of bouncing schedules and juggling stuff around, and a lot of the stuff that goes on in the local pagan community here locally, of course, is that Thursday nights at either 7 or 9 o'clock, so yeah, and our show is at 9 o'clock, so we had to do a little bit of jiggling around, but we got it taken care of. So that's why we didn't do the perspective. But we will be having it, and you will be enjoying it. So
tonight's show, though, I believe we are doing a Chasing Squirrels episode, correct?
Correct. Yeah, we've got some interesting things to talk about. There's a lot of really interesting things to talk about.
Well, then I'm going to let you kick it off.
All right. Well, I guess the first thing, do we want to talk about world events, or do we want to talk about Cherry Hill first?
Let's talk about Cherry Hill, because I was just reading on that.
Okay, let's talk about Cherry Hill. So, if you go to the Wild Hunt, Cherry Hill is basically saying that they need help. Not just money, but support. They're having problems getting the accreditation, all sorts of stuff, and basically they're asking for the pagan community's help.
So, and just to tell everybody now, there aren't plans for the school to close, but they did post on their Facebook page, and Wild Hunt has a whole story about it. And they put, unpredictable cash flow has compromised our ability to be sustainable. the nature of the extended pagan community, the economy, and even the very face of higher education have all changed dramatically in the past decade. While many of you have been dedicated and committed, we are now considering the reality that we may not be able to continue as we are without a significant increase in participation by many more people in our community. And they interviewed Holly Emore, who is served as the executive director for the 20-year-old institution since 2007 to learn more. And they're just saying they haven't been able to make ends meet for several years, and it's just been really difficult. And you want to go into some more?
Yeah. So basically, because I was kind of going through the process of trying to actually apply to Cherry Hill and whatnot, there are some issues. Number one, they're having problems with accreditation. Now, there's a few ways that they could go about it. Part of the issue is that Cherry Hill, since it's all online and doesn't have any physical space, in order for them to have a campus visit, they have to have the money to host an accrediting body. That's one way of doing it. Another way of doing it is to get three other seminaries to say that Cherry Hill's MDiv, Master of Divinity, is equivalent to these other schools' Masters of Divinity. Well, and a bunch of these liberal Christian institutions looked at them and said, yeah, you know, it's a very substantial program. We see where people have to have a lot of education, but, you know, we're not sure if it's equivalent because, you know, students don't have to learn, like, Latin or Greek or Hebrew. And they're kind of talking about a foreign language component. And some of this stuff is very similar to what Muslims face, especially once you're trying to become imams, because their training is also very different than the seminary system we have here in the United States. If you're a pagan and you want to get a Master's of Divinity, you have a few options, but they're not always they range from Cherry Hill to stuff that could be, like, I'm not going to say worse, but not as optimal. Like, some of the Unitarian Universalist seminaries will take openly pagan students. They don't have a problem with that. Some of the more liberal Christian universities may take pagan students, depending, but then you're in a class taking a lot of classes on scripture that, as a pagan, you yourself are not going to need. And, I mean, I'll admit, I've gone through the catalog for Cherry Hill because, like I said, I was interested in applying and actually getting an MDiv from them in pastoral counseling. And their requirements they're not easy. It's not like Cherry Hill is really trying to be academically at least above board. I mean, I do have a few issues with some people involved with them and their
but they are no longer involved with them.
I was going to say, and their statements involved in the trans community, but those people are now no longer involved with Cherry Hill. So, you know, Cherry Hill is, doing much, much better, at least in that regard. So,
right, and they said that they only had one person pool funding over that this issue is not arising from that. And not only are they seeking people, you know, monitoring means, they're seeking advice. They want to know what the pagan community wants. Because they said, you know, 8-10 years ago, what they are supplying is what was asked for 8-10 years ago. And they want to see what is still being asked for. And I would love to take the counseling courses and such also. Especially with wanting to go into psychology and counseling, and part of the reason that they're having issues accrediting the programs is because apparently a lot of the accreditation stuff, not only can they not host the people to come in because they don't have a physical location, but also a lot of the accreditation programs and paperwork and, you know, what it's based on is based on Christian models.
Right.
Christian seminary models. And like you said, the language part, we don't require, they don't require people to learn Greek. They don't require people to learn the Bibles, ins and outs and such, so.
Right. And see, the other thing is also, I mean, they could possibly use the same route that the Jewish tradition, at least in the Reformed tradition,
trained their rabbis. Well, the Muslim tradition also. The Muslim tradition.
Well, no. The Muslim tradition has their own thing going, which is a little bit less centralized. There are some Jewish schools out there that really I know Hebrew Union is one of them, where they train rabbis. But once again, if you're talking about, like, I know for sure for Hebrew Union, and I'm pretty sure for the Imam training schools here in the United States, you have to have a grasp for for Jewish students, you have to have a grasp of Hebrew. For Islamic students, you have to have a grasp of Arabic. So I think that's one of the things that's kind of a hang up for Terry Hill getting the endorsement, is kind of that foreign language requirement almost. But the thing is really foreign language isn't necessarily essential to all pagans. I mean, there are some branches of paganism, especially heathenry, where people are obsessing about learning languages. Yeah, I'll admit it, yeah. I'm working on German right now myself. And a couple of other things I'm dabbling into to reading and listening to. But that, to me, that's kind of more a tradition-specific thing. Someone who maybe is following a Greek polytheistic path, they might want to learn Greek, possibly in order to read source materials. The same thing as someone who's following an Italian might want to learn Latin, or someone who's following Egyptian might want to learn either Arabic or Kemetic or a version of those languages. And that's kind of the big, I mean, my big takeaway from the article is that was part of the hang-up, was that these schools said, yeah, you know, the program is good and substantial, but because the big thing they kept saying was the language requirement is where it makes it to where it's not as equivalent, is kind of where they're saying. It makes it not equivalent. So that's something that I'm finding interesting.
So, but yes, if you can help support them, check them out, give them advice of what you'd like to see, please do it. I know they, like, we did criticize them a little bit when it came to a certain staff member recently, but as a whole, the school is a good school. It is a good institution. So please do what you can to help them. Let's keep them going.
Yeah.
I'm going to probably have to log on there and see, because they do have, like, certificates and such that are a lower cost money-wise, if that's something that you might be interested in.
And, you know, actually, I looked on the website. I believe it's $240 per class for the certificate program and $485 for the master's program, which for people who are not in the know, that's actually extremely cheap for a master's degree program. Some of the pastoral counseling programs here locally that I myself have looked into, one of them being through the Presbyterian Seminary, it's actually a counseling degree. I mean, I was looking at at least $1,500 a class. So, Yeah, Cherry Hill is doing their best to keep things affordable and keep things to where, you know, people can afford it. And, you know, the other thing is once they get, like, accreditation, then they can start talking to the U.S. Department of Education and possibly getting financial aid for their students. So, it's something that's very interesting.
Okay. All right, so what was the next story that you wanted to discuss?
Well, something huge is going on the next 2 weeks, and there's going to be certain people I know of, myself included, that are going to kind of be glued to their television set. Do you know what's coming up? Huh?
Say it again. I'm sorry, I got distracted.
Okay, something is getting ready to start Friday that's going to have a lot of people glued to their television set.
Tomorrow?
Yes, for the next couple weeks.
That be the Olympics?
That is the Olympics, yes.
Okay, I was trying to figure out how out of the loop I actually was. Woohoo,
yeah,
not as bad as I thought.
The Olympics are coming up. The cool thing about the Olympics is they are a worldwide sporting event that's actually based in paganism. So a lot of people don't realize that, and I think it's awesome. You know, it's a very pagan thing that the whole world is getting ready to be a part of, and I am very excited. There's a lot of really cool storylines going on at this year's Olympics. So, you know, it's one of those things, I'll admit, you know, like every 4 years I kind of get addicted to actually every 2 years because I do watch the Winter Games too. I'm just not as addicted to the Winter Games as I am to the Summer Games. I'll admit I'm going to be kind of glued to my television set to be watching stuff. I guess we need to talk about some of the storylines for the Olympics real quick too, don't we?
I don't know what a lot of them are, so you're going to fill me in.
Okay. So there are some sports that I know more about than others. So things first, we're going to talk about Russia. Of course, all their track and field athletes are banned. Also, they basically said that for doping, for systematic, widespread nationwide doping.
Didn't know that. Learned something new.
Yeah. And so then the IOC came out and said, well, we're not going to completely bar Russian athletes from competing in other sports. However, the each sports governing body has to approve each athlete from Russia that wants to compete, and they did not have failed a doping drug test in the past. So there's not going to be as many Russians there this year because of that. We know that there is going to be a Russian gymnastics team, men, women, rhythmic, trampoline. Some of the other sports we're not necessarily so sure about. We do know about the gymnastics, which is one of Russia's, like, big sports. Trying to think what else we can. We've got the U.S. women's soccer team who won the World Cup recently is now going to the Olympics to play for gold. The other thing that they're doing that's really interesting is they are actually taking U.S. soccer to court because they get paid like $1,300 every time they win a match versus the American men $17,000 per match.
Per what?
Kind of, yeah, yeah. And so the U.S. women are actually throwing a fit saying the U.S. men's team is losing us money, is losing U.S. soccer money, and they don't fill the stadiums, whereas we're making money, we're filling stadiums, and we've won two World Cups, which the best the U.S. men's team has ever done has gotten to the round of 16 in a World Cup. So, and the ladies have a point. They really do. They have a point. They think that they should be paid, you know, basically it's not like we're talking basketball or anything else. They're basically saying, hey, look, you know, we're comparing us to the men's team. We're a more successful team. We win. We pack stadiums. People come to watch us all the time play. Whereas the men's team, not so much. The men's team is losing U.S. soccer money. The women's team is giving us money. And yet the players on the men's team are making more than the players on the women's team. So they're kind of, they're still playing. They still want to play. They're still excited about playing. But they're going to kind of be the needle in U.S. soccer's side. And I think for the good, because they're actually saying, hey, look, you know, we deserve to at least get paid the same as the men, if not more. As, what we want is our pay to be the same. The men that I am aware of, there are no men on the U.S. men's national team that have come out in support of the women. However, my question is have they been told basically to keep their mouth shut in order to keep their job or not? And that's the real question there. So that's why I'm not going to say anything horrible about the men's soccer team, because they might be under orders basically to keep their mouth shut. So let's see. We've got Michael Phelps is going to be competing in his last Olympics, or at least he says it's his last Olympics. Of course, the U.S. is, as always, sending the dream, the next incarnation of the Dream Team. To Rio, and then there's all sorts of crazy stuff going on around gymnastics. Pretty much as far as gymnastics goes, the American women now the men's side is a little different, but on the women's side, the American women are pretty much favorites to win the gold medal, and to win the gold medal by several points, which in gymnastics terms is astronomical. Probably the best female athlete in the world competes in U.S. gymnastics, and that is Simone Biles. She's done something no woman has ever done before. She's an African American woman to boot. She actually won three all around championships leading up to the Olympics. So basically, they're wanting to she's going there competing to basically cement that, yes, I am the greatest gymnast of all time. But there's also, we're sending an older team this year. The youngest member on the team is 16, and that's Lori Hernandez. And then you've got young women on the team. Madison Koshin, I believe, is 19. Simone Biles is 19 or 20. Gabby Douglas is 20, and Allie Raceman is 22. So for a gymnastics team, that's actually considerably much older than they have been in the past. And a lot of that has because the age cap changed from 14 to 16 for elite gymnastics. And there's all sorts of interesting things going on around there. You know, is it the power tumbling? Or, you know, it's kind of a thing between power tumbling versus artistry. You know, it's and there's a lot of real interesting stuff, and a lot of it's subjective. And to somebody like me, who's kind of a nerd who likes to think about crazy stuff, that's kind of something I like watching. Men's team actually looks to be in medal contention, but not as in as much medal contention as the U.S. women's team, because basically what will happen for the U.S. women's team to lose the gold is for every woman on our team to implode, because apparently we are, according to everything I have read everywhere and everything I have seen, we are that much better than everybody else in the world. I mean, they even said at Olympic trials that basically the U.S. women's gymnastics team is the hardest Olympic team in the world of any sport to make it on. You know, of course, hands off to the young ladies for making it, because it's a lot of hard work and sacrifice for when you're competing in any sport, and especially when you're at this level. Of course, you've got swimming, you've got diving going on. I mean, it's just, you know, something I'm happy about seeing in the Olympics this year is rugby sevens. I'm a nerd.
Wait a minute, what did you say? It's what?
Rugby sevens.
It is
a smaller, it's like rugby, only a smaller, more souped-up version of the sport. It's a lot faster. It's different. I mean, it's rugby, but it's a little bit different. It's actually a faster, the way I like to describe it is it's a faster version of rugby. Of course, there's track and field, and you've got Usain Bolt. He's saying that this will be his last Olympics, and he's like the 100-meter, 200-meter sprinter from Jamaica who's, like, amazing. You know, it's hard to get. I mean, there's probably even more storylines out there that I'm not even aware of, and I'm sure there are probably people out there who could probably tell me some storylines I've missed. But that's the ones kind of I know about. So,
you know a lot more than me, so.
Well, and here's the thing, though. I mean, come on. You know me. I watch a lot of sports.
Yeah, I don't.
This is something me and Ulf actually joke about, and I'm letting my listeners in on one of our little inside jokes. Okay. So there's a joke that when it comes to sports, I'm the guy in the relationship because I like sports, and he's not so much. Which is actually very funny in a lot of ways.
I like to play sports. I'd rather play a sport than watch it, honestly.
I like to do both. That's my problem. And I think for me, it's kind of the drama and the fact that you don't know what's going to happen next. It's just, you know, I think it's going to be really, really, really cool. And I'm excited. And, you know, and I know we'll probably talk a little bit about the Olympics as they go on, but, you know, that's kind of all the major stuff. I totally forgot about this one. The International Olympic Committee has put together a team consisting entirely of refugees. They're calling themselves the refugee team. And basically everyone competing on that team is a refugee from somewhere. So you've got, like, some Syrian refugees, South Sudanese, there's all Palestinian, there's all sorts of different refugees that are on that team, and I think that's actually really a really interesting thing that they're doing this year. The other big thing, though, with the Olympics is there is a lot of controversy swirling around it, and it has a lot to do with the fact of Rio didn't do what they were supposed to do as far as cleaning up. You've got the Zika virus going on. You've got some sports like open water swimming, triathlon, sailing, rowing, and windsurfing are going to be taking place in a bay where basically open sewage from a favela spill down into that's untreated. And a lot of people are throwing a fit about that. Of course, the people in Rio are upset because the economy in Brazil collapsed.
and they made all these commitments to the games, and while they were making all these commitments to the games, then, like, some of the stuff for the local citizens went by the wayside. You know, there's good things, and then there's bad things associated with the Olympics. You know, it's...
Well, what about the Zika virus?
Oh, what do you know about Zika?
I just know what I heard when it first came out that... Well, when it first came out, all I really heard was that it affected the babies for pregnant women. I really don't know much else besides that. And I know that there's been some cases in Florida recently, but isn't it still really bad there?
Okay, yeah. Zika's horrible in Brazil right now, apparently. And a lot of, like, I know there are some PGA athletes who said, nope, I'm not competing in Rio because, like, in golf, because one of them was, like, my wife is pregnant. Another one is, like, my wife and I are trying to have a baby, and I'm not going to take the chance of going to Rio and getting Zika and taking it home to my wife and unborn child. The big thing with Zika, in most healthy adults, it's not really going to do much except make you, like, feel like crap, okay, for a few days, and then your body will fight it off. That's not the problem with Zika. The big problem with Zika is what it does to unborn children, fetuses. Basically, there is an epidemic of microcephaly, which is basically children being born with undersized heads. Basically, the heads are too small for their bodies, and that's kind of... They've pretty much the scientific community they're still somewhat up in the air about whether or not Zika causes this, but they keep saying that there is an extremely strong correlation, and that they're assuming that that's what is causing it. Of course, there is a city in South Florida where they said that, you know, don't go, there's a whole community, basically, if you're pregnant, don't go there. And then, of course, the CDC website, it says many people infected with Zika won't have symptoms or will only have mild symptoms. A blood and or urine test can confirm infection or diagnosis, and there is no medical treatment for Zika.
So, I mean, I know it's a big issue, but so is it Zika? Its main influences is on the fetus.
Yeah, that's the big thing is what they
I mean, it's a big deal, but I'm just trying to make, you know, clarify that that's what the main issue is.
That is actually the main issue. I'm actually looking at the CDC's website just to make entirely sure that I'm giving out correct information, because the one last thing I want to do is panic anybody or give people incorrect medical information. And basically, you know, if you've been to an area that has Zika, then you, if you're pregnant, need to get tested, as you know, right away, because there's some stuff that they can do. They can do an ultrasound and kind of gouge some of the symptoms and see, you know, if it's affecting the fetus. And, of course, they say the most common symptoms of Zika are fever, rash, joint pain, and red eyes. And you can also get a muscle pain or headache. You know, if you're a healthy adult, you're going to be fine. It's the big thing is really the big thing is the whole thing with pregnant women. And that's something that a lot of people were concerned about. In fact, I'm looking here basically, you know, if you're a female and you're pregnant and you've been, if you've been around anyone who has Zika or has been exposed to Zika, then you might want to get yourself checked for Zika.
So, on to big news, at least in the pagan community.
Okay.
The Raymond Buckland Museum.
Oh, yeah.
So, apparently it was around a long time ago, but as Raymond Buckland became bigger in lecture circuit and all that and events, he wasn't able to keep it up. And this was back in the 60s and 70s. So in the 80s, his collection went into storage in the 80s. And they are now trying to get it going again. There are lots of stuff. And I believe I saw somewhere that didn't Christopher Penzack just donate his first wand, I think, to it getting back going?
I'm honestly not sure because this is kind of something I didn't follow super, super much.
But let's see. I'm trying to see where. But if you want to support the project, they started a crowdfunding campaign to help with the cost. The cost of restoration, utilities, rent, insurance, application fees, and display cases can be overwhelming, so anything donated to the fund is greatly appreciated. There's a donation page on the Buckland Museum website. They've had wonderful feedback and contributions from friends, family, and fellow pagans. They also are looking for people to share any memories or stories that they may have of the museum over the years. Along with this, we love hearing stories, tales, and anecdotes of people that have been instrumental in this cause. And the crowdfunding campaign is on GoFundMe.com, and it's under Buckland Museum Restoration Help. They have only raised $858 of the $5,000. Come on, guys. I've seen stuff not as influential and important to our community go faster than this.
Mm-hmm.
So it says their goal is to house and display artifacts from many of the pagan elders that have been instrumental in making paganism what it is today. So help spread the word, share this on your Facebook page, share this everywhere. This isn't just Gardnerian. This isn't just a specific form of paganism. This is a collection that goes across traditions. So please, you know, support if you can. Donate if you can. Please help. Please get the word out. So, and I'm even sharing it on my page right now. And then I will be sharing it on the Community Center Facebook page. So you can go to the Community Center Facebook page and share it from ours, if you would like. And that is Tree of Life, LOUKY.org, /Tree of Life, LOUKY. Sorry, brain glitch there for a second. So, all right, do you have anything else?
Right now, I don't, but I'm thinking we need to get to a point where we need to take a break, don't we?
Yes, we should take a quick break.
All right. I saw this song, and I think I'm going to play it. It's called The Feast of Krampus. Of course, I know we're in August, but it's hot, and I want to think about colder things. So we're going to play a song about S.J. Tucker called The Feast of Krampus. Which apparently the board is not letting us do.
Just hit play on anything and see what happens.
It's not letting me hit play on anything.
I think we've been having issues with them tonight, haven't we?
We've been having lots of Blog Talk issues. Well, sorry about that, folks. I was going to play that song, but apparently Blog Talk is not being cooperative, and this is what happens when you're doing a live podcast like we are.
Oh, and yes, we apologize for last week. Blog Talk was down for maintenance, but didn't notify anyone of it.
Yeah. Yeah, Blog Talk was completely down all last week.
That's weird. Yeah. I just went to the switchboard and it says we're not on the air.
Really?
I hope we're talking to people. I hope this whole thing hasn't like been us not just talking to each other.
I hope so too. Although now the on-air light is off.
And it says you are not connected. So I'm not sure if we're even on the board. No, I don't even know if we're broadcasting.
Yeah, we have fun. This is 2 weeks in a row that we've been having Blog Talk issues.
Maybe we should just go ahead and do upcoming events and end the show just in case.
Yeah, let's do that. because now I'm getting a work you're not connected error as well.
I mean, we're still able to talk to each other, so I'm assuming that we're still talking out there. So
we're at least
disconnected.
Yeah, I don't even have an option to end episode or anything at this point.
I did when it loaded, so, but I'm sure if we hang up and the show will keep going. But, so I guess we'll go ahead and do upcoming events real quick if we're still recording. So, let's see. What I have is. Pagan events. There is the Pan Pagan Festival this weekend, and Pictus will be there at 7 p.m. tomorrow night. It is by the Midwest Pagan Council. I've heard that this is kind of like a rebirth of the Pan Pagan Festival. It's August 3rd through the 7th. It's the 40th annual Pan Pagan Festival, and the theme is Changing, Growing, Renewing. So it is one of the oldest ones. Pick this course as the musical guest. And I am trying. It's located just outside Knox, Indiana at Rising Sun Campground. So that is really all the information I have right now on that. I'm not sure if you can register at the door or not. There is a quick, on-site, $85 for adults, $75 for students, a whole bunch of different pricing guides. There is a Friday through Sunday rate and a Saturday rate if you are interested. So, again, it looks like Monterey, Indiana. You can go to MidwestPaganCouncil.org for more information. And the World of Fairies Festival, it's the 12th annual World of Fairies Festival, is this weekend, August 6th through the 7th at VASA Park in Illinois, in South Elgin, Illinois. Tickets are available at theworldoffairies.com. Prosperous Living, Manifesting Abundance and Money in Magical Something. It cuts off, sorry. with Kiki Dombrowski at Goddess of the Moon in Nashville, Tennessee, this Saturday, August 6th, 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Speaking of which, I will be going to visit them this weekend because me and a friend are going to the Voltaire concert in Nashville.
Nice.
So, and it sounds like they may be having to go into storage for a little bit or something like that, because it looks like they posted on their page today that they are looking at just being in the office so that Tish can still do readings, but they will temporarily have to probably shut down for a little bit and mainly focus on online sales and candles and such, because they are still trying to find a new location.
Oh, wow.
So they don't know yet when that's going to happen exactly. So watch their Facebook page for more further information.
Right. August 12th, we have the Louisville Heathen Pub Meet with Pizza on Baxter Avenue and Highland Avenue. We'll be in the pool room at 7 p.m. Come look for us. It's going to be Friday night, August 12th. So that's when Pizzas and Heathens collide once again.
And Wolf Run Wildlife and Spiritual Sanctuary is having 2016 Harvest Festival and Psychic Fair off the Red Tent West Michigan is reserved the temple area, and we'll be with them. So, and this will be in Remus, Michigan, August 12th through the 14th. Fourth annual Pagan Pride Picnic. Saturday, August 13th, 12 p.m. to 7 p.m. in Cincinnati at Mount Airy Forest. It looks like it would be fun. Let's see. There's also... Oh, that's not a pagan thing. A community ritual and Mama Gina concert Thursday, August 18th at Goddess in the Moon in Nashville, Tennessee.
Cool.
Let's see, there's also Hill Folks Hoodoo Intro to Appalachian Folk Magic by Byron Ballard at the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship of Hendersonville in Hendersonville, North Carolina, Saturday, August 20th, 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. I would so love to go to one of her workshops like that.
I love
too far for me. Yes, she is a great person to hang out with.
We have to get her back on our show sometime soon.
Yes, we do. Women's Goddess Retreat at Midian 2016, August 26th to the 28th. That is in Springville, Indiana. Tickets are available at asteriabooks.com, A-S-T-E-R-I-A-books.com. And just going through the end of August, there is the Delmarva Pagan Pride Festival 2016 in Dover, Delaware. Delmarva Pagan Pride Festival, Sunday, August 28th, 9:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. And that is it for through the end of August. So, next week's show, we will be having Judica Illis on, and she will be discussing everything and anything that has to do with her. She has put out many books. She does many lectures. Apparently, I saw something about a really good lecture she just did an event. If you don't have some of her encyclopedias, they're wonderful books. They're great references.
They really are.
So... we will have her on next week discussing all kinds of stuff.
Yes, so hopefully tonight our listeners actually did get to hear us a little bit. If not, I think I'm going to go pillage Blog Talk. Might set up a moderator.
Yes, and I think it's going to give me the option to end the show because it says... So I'm going to try to do it and see what happens.
Okay.
So everyone, so unfortunately, no closing music, no closing items because it won't let us play anything. So hopefully if you all can hear this, we're going to tell you everyone have a blessed evening and we will speak to you next week.
All right, and y'all be safe out there.
All right. Have a good night.
Night.